Welcome to Shiur and Sforno, Parshas Emor. We're going through the Parshas HaMoados, Perek Chof Gimel in Parshas Emor, that talks about the various Yom Tovim. And we saw in Pasuk Ches, the Sforno has an interesting idea that each of the Yom Tovim has an element of Hoda'ah al Ha'avar, giving thanks for the past, and tefillah al ha'asid, davening for the future. In other words, every Yom Tov, let's say, for instance, take the idea of Pesach. Pesach, we give thanks for the fact that we were freed from Egypt. It's Man Cheruseinu. And Pesach is also tefillah, in an agricultural society in particular. Pesach represents a tefillah that the upcoming agricultural season should be successful. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us, "B'Pesach nidonin ala tvua," that we're judged for the quality of the grain on Pesach. So, you know, Pesach is a time during which we're davening as well. The Sforno then says that the Karbon HaOmer, which was brought on the second day of Pesach, has two elements to it as well. We know the Pasuk talks about how there was a Minchas HaOmer. There was a flour offering from barley. That's the sort of the main aspect of the Karban HaOmer. But there was also a Karban Ola. There was a sheep that was brought as a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, together with the flour sacrifice that was offered up. What's the role of the barley versus the animal sacrifice? So here the Sforno says that the Minchas HaOmer, the barley sacrifice, is giving thanks to Hashem for the past, meaning the barley has begun to grow, so the barley sacrifice is an expression of thanks to Hashem for the new crop of barley. The karbon is a tefillah al ha'asid. The tefillah, the karbon, the zevach, the animal karbon, is an implied prayer for the future, that the upcoming season be successful from an agricultural point of view. Now, why does he divide it that way? In other words, it seems kind of arbitrary. Why is the mincha associated with the past, and why is the zevach associated with the future? So here I think the answer to that question is just very simply that the mincha, by definition, is giving thanks for the past, because the mincha represents the culmination of that which has already grown. The barley crop has started to grow. Certainly the mincha sa'omer is an expression of thanks to Hashem for the fact that the barley crop has begun to grow. So what better way to express our thanks than to bring an actual sample of the barley crop, which is the mincha sa'omer. So almost by so then you ask the question, okay, so what's the karban zevach? What's the karban ola doing in this picture? You know, why bring an animal sacrifice in addition to the Minchas HaOmer, to the flower sacrifice? So almost like by process of elimination, okay, so if we know, you know, what else is it serving? If we know that there's this dual role that we observe on every Yom Tov, both thanks for the past and tefillah for the future, so it must be that the Karban Ola steps into that role. The Karban Ola is the expression of tefillah for the future. Okay, so far so good. Then the Sforno adds the following line: V'haisa hasfira zikaron latfilah yom yom. The sfiras ha'omer, then serves as a reminder of this idea to engage in tefillah on a daily basis for the next 49 days, for the next 50 days, after the Karban HaOmer is brought. Very interesting. I don't know if we normally think of Sfira as being a Tfila. I think the common way to think of Sfira is as a bridge between the Yom Tov and Pesach and Shavuos. And we wouldn't necessarily think of it as being a Tfila, I think, ordinarily. We'd think of it as just, in a sense, marking time on the calendar. You know, we want to show that there's a certain amount of time between Pesach and Shavuos, to show, the Sefer HaChinuch famously says that Sfira is a display of our anticipation for Matan Torah, we want to show that, you know, once Pesach begins, the chayrus, the freedom of Pesach is not really complete until we experience Shavuos. So in other words, it links the holidays in that way. And it shows our eagerness, our anticipation for the Yontif of Shavuos. But as Rabbi Kuberman points out in his notes, according to the Sfarno, the Sfiras HaOmer doesn't really relate to Shavuos at all. The Sfiras HaOmer is a way of keeping alive the tefillos that were symbolized by the bringing of the Karban HaOmer. When we brought the Karban Ola on the second day of Pesach, together with the Minchas HaOmer, we were davening that the upcoming season should be successful. And we don't want to just stop davening. It's not like you want to come one day and daven and that's it. We have to keep davening throughout the season that the season be successful. How long does the season last? About 7 weeks. Okay, so for the next 7 weeks after we bring the Karban HaOmer, we'll keep davening. And the way that we remind ourselves to keep davening is through the Sfiras HaOmer. It's a very unique way of looking at the role of Sfiras HaOmer. According to this perspective, really Shavuos doesn't play that much of a role in the idea of Sfiras HaOmer. It's really just a continuation of the tefillos that accompanied the Karban HaOmer. What leads the Sfarno to look at Sfiras HaOmer in this unusual way? Well, maybe the answer is it's only unusual because we've never heard it before, right? But what is there anything in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer itself that would lead the Sfarno to see it as a tefillah, a continuation of the mitzvah of the Karban HaOmer? So we should know, we've spoken about this in other contexts, that there's a big machlokus in the Rishonim as to what extent the mitzvah of bringing the Karban HaOmer and the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer are tied to one another. The Pasuk says in this week's parasha, Sfartem lochem imochres ha-shabos, miyom aviyachem es omer ha-tnufa, sheva shabosos tmimos tiyena. You should count from the day on which you bring the Karban HaOmer, 7 weeks. Aye, what if I don't have a Karban HaOmer? What if there's no Beis HaMikdash and I didn't bring a Karban HaOmer? So the majority of Rishonim hold that in the absence of a Karban HaOmer, the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is only midrabbanan. That nowadays, when we don't have, unfortunately, we don't have a Karban HaOmer, there's no mitzvah daraisa to count Sfiras HaOmer. Chazal instituted a mitzvah midrabbanan to remind us of the Sfiras HaOmer that they did in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why, after counting Sfira, we say the tefillah, HaRachman hu yachzir lanu avodas Beis HaMikdash limkomo. Hashem should restore the Beis HaMikdash speedily to us. Why are we davening all of a sudden after Sfira for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash? Because the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash will elevate the mitzvah of Sfira. It will take the mitzvah of Sfira, which right now, today, is only a din d'rabbanan, and it will reinstate it as being a din d'araisa. We'd like to be able to count Sfira min ha-Torah. We'd like to be able to count Sfira and fulfill a mitzvah d'araisa, not merely a mitzvah min d'rabbanan. So that's what we're davening right after we complete the Sfira sa'omer. So according to that understanding, which is the understanding of most Rishonim, there's an integral link between the Karban HaOmer and the counting of Sfira. In fact, you have to ask the question according to the Sefer HaChinuch. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, who says that the whole role of Sfira is to show our anticipation of Shavuos, so then why would most Rishonim say that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer nowadays is the Rabbanan? According to the Sefer HaChinuch, there isn't really any connection between the Karban HaOmer and counting in anticipation of Shavuos. The Sfarno links, again, the Sfarno is really following the position of most Rishonim, in a sense, to link the counting of Sfira to the Karban HaOmer. After all, that's what it says in the Pasuk, really. Sfartem lochem, miyom aviyachem es omer hatnufa. So it stands to reason, according to the Sfarno, we can see where the Sfarno gets the idea from, that the Sfiras HaOmer is supposed to be a continuation of the idea of the Karban HaOmer. Okay, but why is the Sfiras HaOmer specifically linked to the Karban HaOmer, the Karban Ola, as opposed to the Minchas HaOmer? If anything, it says in the Pasuk, Usfartem lochem yom haviyachem es omer hatnufa. The emphasis in the Pasuk is on the Mincha, not on the Karban Ola. Well, according to the Sfarno, it doesn't really make sense to link the Svira to the Omer, to the Minchasa Omer, because the Minchasa Omer is all about the past. It's giving thanks for the past. Svira, almost by definition, as if we're counting, it means that we're focusing on the present and the future. We're looking into the future. We're not talking about the past. So the only thing that the Svira can really relate to is to the Karban Ola, which is a form of tefillah for the future. So Svira as well becomes a form of tefillah for the future, a reminder that we need to constantly daven throughout this period of time that the agriculture be successful, you know, as we're coming in to the spring and the early summer. It's interesting to note, just to bring this Sfarno to Halacha L'maisa, Poskim talk about whether there's a concept of counting Sfira b'tzibur. Right? Should I try to count Sfira together with the rest of the congregation? Should I try to count it in a minyan? Now obviously, the idea of counting Sfira doesn't require a minyan absolutely. A person finds himself, unfortunately last year, right? We didn't have minyanim during most of Sfira Sa'omer, so it's not like the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer fell by the wayside. Okay, we counted b'yachidus, you know, we counted in the absence of a minyan. But would it be ideal to count with the minyan, if possible? And here many poskim say that, yeah, if you can, it's better to count with the minyan. And that's even true in circumstances where that would be less obvious. Consider the following. The poskim say that it's better to count generally speaking, it's better to count Sfira earlier in the evening rather than later in the evening. It's ideal to count Sfira as close to the beginning of the halachic day as possible. You know, not long after it gets dark, a person should try to count Sfira. So let's say a person normally davens at a 10 o'clock Ma'ariv every night. So a person could very easily make the following cheshbon, the following calculation. He'll say, you know what? Certainly when it comes to tefillah b'tzibur, it's better for me to daven with the tzibur. So I'll wait to that, you know, even though there's reason makdim in l'mitzvos, even though, you know, a person usually should run to do a mitzvah at the first opportunity, if I daven ma'ariv at the first opportunity, I'll be davening ma'ariv b'yachidus. Better if the minyan that's available to me, the minyan that I'm planning to go to is a 10 o'clock ma'ariv. So even though I'm not davening at the first opportunity, but it's better to daven b'tzibur at 10 o'clock, even if it means that I'm not davening at, you know, exactly the earliest time that I could daven. Oh, but what about Sfira Sa'omer? So a guy might say to himself as follows, and it's not a bad cheshbon, it's not a bad calculation. Let's say the earliest he can count Sfira is, for argument's sake, 8:30. Right? Good. So the guy says to himself like this, let me count Sfira at 8:30, and then I'll go to Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock and daven b'tzibur. Why should I push off counting Sfira till I go to the Ma'ariv minyan? Why shouldn't I, you know, do something that seems to be a little bit more l'chatchil, a little bit better, and count Sfira at the earliest opportunity that evening? So as we know from our own experience, the poskim say, no, that's not a good idea. You should wait. Don't count Sfira at 8:30. Wait till it's 10 o'clock. Daven with the minyan. And then when the minyan says Sfira at the end of davening, so you'll say Sfira together with them. Aye, but I'm saying Sfira later than I could have, theoretically. What's the big deal that I have to say Sfira with the minyan? Where do we find this concept of Sfira b'tzibur? So, interestingly, this Sfarno might actually be a source for that idea, which the Poskim says there is a concept of Sfira b'tzibur. Why would that be? I mean, why should there be a concept of counting Sfira together with everyone else? Well, according to this Sfarno, you could argue, if Sfira is a form of tefillah, and we certainly know that tefillah is enhanced when it's recited b'tzibur, so maybe, you know, A plus B equals C, maybe it stands to reason that my Sfira Sa'omer is enhanced and takes on a better quality when it's conducted b'tzibur, when I count together with the rest of the tzibur, even if that means I'm counting a little bit later in the evening than I could have if I was counting on my own. So that's a very interesting idea that the Sfarno has over here, that we view Sfira as being a form of tefillah, and, you know, perhaps it ties in to that idea which we find in the poskim. After the Torah speaks about the Yontiv of Shavuos, so sort of at a left field, it reverts to a halacha which was already taught in Parshas Kedoshim, the halachos of Matnos Aniyim, of setting aside certain portions of the field for the poor. So, in Perchav Gimel Pasuk Chav Aleph, we find Ukrosem Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Mikra Kodesh Yihye Lochem. This day, the 50th day after the Sfira, should be a Yomtiv, the Yomtiv of Shavuos, Komalechas Avodo Losasu, Chukas Olam B'chomosh Loseichem L'Daroseichem. Okay, you should keep the Yomtiv of Shavuos wherever you are throughout the generations. Then Pasuk Chav Beis, so the Kutzruchem is Kutzir Artzuchem. When you reap the harvest of your land, lo sechalapa asadcho bekutzrecho v'leket kitzircho lo selakeit. You should keep the laws of peah, leaving aside the corner of the field. You should keep the laws of leket, that if you drop sheaves while you're gathering them, if it's one or two sheaves, it goes to the poor. La'ani v'lager tazov osam, they should be left to the poor. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm Hashem. All right, very nice. Mitzvah Peah, Mitzvah Leket, been there, done that. We talked about that in Parshas Kedoshim. And this is so out of place. We're talking about the Yom Tovim. We're not talking about Stok or Matnas Aniyim over here. So how did this pasuk get in over here? What relevance does it have to the discussion at hand? So the Sfarno writes as follows. Achar ho'odo al ha'kotzir v'hatzlochoso. Remember, what are all the Yom Tovim about? The Yom Tovim are all about giving acknowledgement to Hashem for the past and davening that He continued to provide for us in the future. Right? But, you know, it's a way of acknowledging the good in our lives. So after talking about Shavuos and how Shavuos, like all the Yom Tovim, has that element to it, that double element, giving thanks for the past, davening for the future, Hizir al-Mitzvos l'kiyum ha-momon ha-musak b'hatzlacha. The Torah now dispenses financial advice. If on Shavuos we're giving thanks to Hashem for the crops which He bestowed upon us, again, Shavuos is the time of the wheat harvest in Eretz Yisrael. It's a time of tremendous plenty. It's where the farmer is really reaping the fruits of his labor in a very, very real and visceral kind of sense. You know, everything's coming together. So now the Shaila is, okay, I'm gaining all of this wealth. How do I hold on to my wealth? So, perhaps counterintuitively, the Torah says, you know how you hold on to your wealth? Give something to the poor. After it tells us that you're getting all this wealth, it tells us about these mitzvahs, l'kiyum hamamon, to hold on to the money, hamusug b'hatzlacha, that I gained through these material successes. V'tziva aleket upeya. And that's why the Torah at this point tells us about the mitzvahs of leket and peah, you know, giving portions of the field to the poor people. I would think, in my puny mind, that that's the worst way to ensure my continued financial success. How to keep your money? Give away your money. Huh? I don't get it. But the Torah says, no, the way to keep your money is to give a portion of your money to tzedakah, to give a portion of the money to those who don't have. And that, in a beautiful pshat, says the Sfarno, is the end of the pasuk. The pasuk ends off, La'ani v'lager tazov osam. You should give these portions to the poor. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God. Again, nobody disputes that fact, that Hashem is our God. What's the point? You know, what is the pasuk bringing out in saying, Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Says the Sfarno, I am Hashem, your God. The word Elokeichem is in the plural, meaning, you know, the God of all of you. Elokei hakotzrim ve'elokei hamalaktim. I am the God of the farmer, and I'm the God of the poor person who comes into the farmer's field looking for a handout. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm the God of all of you. And therefore, ve'etiv lamativim lohem kedei lasos ritzoni. Because I'm the God of all of you, because you're all on the same team, ultimately, if you help out others on the team, I'm going to help you as well. You know, don't think that I'm only the God who brought you Hatzlacha. The Ribbono Shel Olam is interested in the success of those poor people as well. you know, is Lahavdil, it's like a corporate entity, you know. If you're working in a business, again, it depends how the business is structured, but if you're working a certain type of business and you're not looking out for the other participants in the business, ultimately you're hurting the business. You know, it's not just about you, it's about you're part of a team. There's a corporate team over here. Again, in some elements in the corporate world, you want to hurt the other guy, okay, but we're not talking about those kind of businesses, right? You know, the kind of business, you know, a good, healthy business, you know, where the success of the team is ultimately everybody's success. So if you're looking to get ahead and sabotage the other guy, the CEO will say, you know, you're not doing anyone any favors. You're not even helping yourself. You're not helping the business. The business has to thrive when everybody's successful. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know, everybody's part of our team. I'm the CEO of this business over here. If the poor people are not taken care of, so it means that the business is not doing well. So you have to do your part. You have to help out the poor people. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm the God of all of you. And that's why, you know, your Hatzlacha is dependent on the Hatzlacha of these poor people. The Pasuk moves on to talk about Rosh Hashanah. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimar. Dabro B'nei Yisrael Leimar. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, saying, "B'chodesh Hashvi, in the seventh month in Tishrei, be'echol l'chodesh, on the first day of the month, yiyeh lochem Shabboson, there should be a Shabbos day, a day of rest, zichron trua mikra kodesh, a remembrance of trua, a holy convocation." The simple pshat in this pasuk is that this is a day on which you blow shofar. Shofar consists of truos, you know, of certain types of blasts, among other. Tkiyas also, but, you know, trua is a generic term for the shofar blast. So zikron trua means, you know, a day on which we have shofar blasts. But right off the bat, we realize that that terminology requires some explanation. The one other time in Chumash where the idea of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is mentioned is in Parshas Pinchas. There are only two places where the idea of blowing shofar is mentioned on Rosh Hashanah, here and in Parshas Pinchas, and in both cases, it's very oblique. Like if you picked up a Chumash and you read it without knowing that we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you would not necessarily automatically assume that we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You probably would not be able to figure that out on your own just from reading the Chumash. Zichron Trua, a remembrance of blasts, right? I wouldn't figure that out on my own. But if you look at the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, it says, Yom Trua Yielochem. Rosh Hashanah should be a day of blowing. And that terminology seems to make more sense. It should be a day of blowing. What's Zichron Trua? It's a remembrance of Trua. So, you know, there are different explanations to this idea. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that our Pasuk here is talking about when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, like it did earlier this year. And when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar. It's not a Yom Trua. It's just a Zichron Trua, a remembrance of the shofar. We wax nostalgic about the shofar that's not actually being blown. That's the Yerushalmi writes. Again, it seems a little bit odd, right? In other words, that the Pasuk should talk about Davka, a situation where Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. Rashi over here famously writes that Zichron Trua, a remembrance of Trua, means that not only do you have to blow shofar, but you have to recite various psukim, Zichron, remember things, you know, recount things, mention things, articulate things. There should be psukim that you say in conjunction with the blowing of shofar. Of course, we know those are the 10 psukim apiece that we recite during the brachas of Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros. A lot of discussion on that, Rashi, not for right now. But, you know, whether the Yerushalmi or Rashi, the question is, why say Zichron Trua, a remembrance of blowing? Why not say Yom Trua, it's a day of blowing? Zichron Trua is a seemingly unnecessarily complicated way of saying that we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Sfarah has a totally different pshat. And the pshat is based on the fact that the word trua, although it would more typically be translated as blowing, blasts, can also mean friendship. When Bilam HaRasha seeks to curse the Jewish people, and instead blesses them, he says about Klal Yisrael that Truas Melech Bo, the friendship of the king, is something that Klal Yisrael possesses. Klal Yisrael has a special relationship with the Melech Malchei Amlochim, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of Kings. Truas Melech Bo. And the Sfarno understands that that's the way to read this pasuk of Zichron Trua. Zichron Truas Melech. Zichron Trua doesn't mean, says the Sfarno, a remembrance of blasts. It means a reflection upon the Trua, the special relationship of friendship that we're zochet to have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bo Yogilu V'Malkom. Rosh Hashanah is a day on which we celebrate the fact that Hashem is our King. V'zem ibnei hayosa yoshev oz al kisei din k'mo shebo b'kabbalah. Why do we celebrate the fact that Hashem is our King on Rosh Hashanah? Because we know that one of the things he does on Rosh Hashanah is that he sits in judgment on the world. We have a tradition that Hashem judges the world on Rosh Hashanah. V'roi lanu l'smoach oz yoser al shehu malkeinu. And it especially behooves us to celebrate on Rosh Hashanah that Hashem is our King, that we have that special relationship with Him. Shiyata kalapei chesed. Because the fact that we have the special relationship with Hashem makes it more likely that we will come out of the din, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, unscathed or relatively unscathed. So it's a day of Zichron Trua, of focusing on the Malchus, on the special relationship that we have with the King, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You interpret the psukim in that way, and some of the questions that we spoke about before fall away of their own accord. Okay, Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha Omer.